This weekend, we are in part five of the 40 days of prayer. And I want us to look at how to pray throughout your day. When you look at Paul, it's pretty obvious. The Apostle Paul prayed all the time. In every book that he wrote, he starts with a prayer, and he writes most of the New Testament as we understand that. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm always praying. I'm continually praying. I'm constantly praying. I'm praying without ceasing. I never stop praying for you. He's always, always praying. So how do you do that? How do you live your normal life? Go to work, raise your children, take care of the things that you need to during the day. How do you pray without ceasing? How do you pray continually without stopping? Our key verse is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It's in your notes right there. One of my favorite verses, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. And always pray for all of God's people. Now, if we had time, I would say to you, take a pen and circle the word all. There's so many times in this verse that it's used. There's seven instructions here. It says, pray in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? You let God lead you. You listen to His impressions. Many times when I'm praying with people, I will ask the Lord to speak to us so that we know what to pray. I want to be in step with God's Spirit. We want to pray at all times. Here's what I want you to know this morning. There is not a bad time to pray. Always a good idea to pray. And then it says, with all kinds of prayer. For every emotion, for every situation. The Psalms, they pray. The book of Psalms is a prayer book, folks. In it, there's complaining. In it, there's crying out. In it, there's comfort. In it, there is confessing and clarifying and celebrating. What does he say? About everything. There is no subject off the limits of praying to God. Worry can never change anything, but prayer can change everything. Fifthly, he said, always be ready. What does that mean? It means it requires a plan. We're going to talk about that today. I want to think through it. And I'm going to give you one this morning. I'm going to give you a plan that you can walk through, actually. And it says, never give up, number six. Never stop praying. I think sometimes because we are so independent and we're so self-sufficient and we're so self-reliant and in some respects so self-righteous, that we don't think we need to pray. But we never stop praying. And it says, seventhly, pray for all people, which means everybody. And you can't pray for all people, folks, if you're only praying for 2 minutes a day. So how do we do this? How do we pray throughout your day? Well, I want us to encourage us to develop two habits. The first one is this. To keep a running conversation with God. It's like breathing. You don't think about it. You just do it naturally. You're just always talking with God, interacting with Him, listening to His Spirit, sensing His promptings, but you're just have an awareness that He's with you and you're talking with Him all the time. It's like any habit. With practice, you will get good at it. And it's really just praying conversationally. Just talk to God about whatever's on your mind at the moment. It's like it's a free-flowing conversation. Lord, I'm going into a meeting. Would you be with me? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me discernment? Would you give me the ability to communicate clearly to my coworkers? Would you quiet my heart? Ephesians 4:18 says, pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Two things I want to look at here. Occasion and leads. Occasion. You can talk to God anywhere about anything at any time. And he says, as the Spirit leads. Are you able to discern his impressions upon your heart and in your mind or in your spirit? Because that's how he's leading us. I've said that I think being a Christian is real simple, but hard. Simple in the fact that I just need to be in conversation with Jesus and asking him to give me wisdom to hear his voice leading me and prompting me, and the courage to do what he asks me to do. You could do that when you're having a conversation with him every day, when you're just going through the motions of your day. Fill this in your blank there. If you don't feel like praying, it means I'm not praying what I feel. If I don't feel like praying, that means that I'm not praying what I feel. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. Pray at all times. We're clearly commanded to be praying continually, to be in an attitude of prayer, to be aware of what the Spirit is saying to us. The second thing is we need to schedule prayer times throughout our day. For thousands of years, the Jews said their prayers at set times. It was fixed hours. In fact, when we go through the reading program that we're reading through the Bible again this year, we will get to Daniel and we will know that he knelt and prayed three times a day, consistently. So consistently that his enemy knew what he would be doing. In the Roman cities, the bell in the forum rang six times a day. 6 a.m. was the first prime hour. And the beginning of the business, 9 a.m. And then at noon for lunch break. And then at 3 p.m. to get back to work. And then 6 o'clock was the end of the workday. I remember when I was touring in Turkey. And the very thing that we learned very, very quickly is that there is a call to prayer with the Muslims all night, all during times of day. And I remember with my roommate, I said, you know, this is starting to tick me off. I'm trying to sleep. And he said, what if we just did something different? He said, what's that? He said, what if you didn't get ticked off, but what if we just didn't, why don't we just pray to our God and ask for God to move in this country? Changed everything about the whole rest of our trip. It didn't irritate us, it inspired us. Soon Christians started using the bells for prayer times. The monks used bells in the monasteries. It's called the Liturgy of the Hours, and that's what was developed. And in the 400s, monks invented the first mechanical devices to ring the bells. And the old Latin word for bell is C-L-O-C, clock. Clocks were created to remind us to pray. Psalm 119, verse 164, David said, seven times a day I praise you. Over centuries, the divine office is what it's called. It's a discipline. Eight times a day, you pray each day, and it's really complicated. When I was working on my doctorate, we visited an abbey in Kentucky. It was called the Abbey of Gethsemane. What they didn't tell me was that it was a silent retreat. Do you know how difficult it is to be silent for a weekend? Some of you can hardly do it in an hour. And they invited us, because they knew we were from a seminary, to participate in their eight prayer times. And so as a group, we decided that we were going to enter in. 3:15, the bell tolled. Down we went. 5:45 a.m., the bell tolled. Down we went. 6:15, down we went. 7:30, down we went. 12:15, and again at 2:15, again at 5:30, and then again at 7:30. And friends, it became one of the most meaningful times of my relationship with God, because I was consistently aware that I would be praying within hours. And because I couldn't talk, I could talk to Jesus. Today I want to give you a simple format based on the seven phases, a daily schedule built on the Lord's Prayer. Let's go at it. First thing you do when you wake up, number one, is you get up with gratitude. Start your day with thanksgiving. Stop the whining, the grumbling, no griping, no groaning, no growling, no grunting. Just thanksgiving. The older that I get, I'm so thankful I wake up. Doctors say the healthiest human emotion is gratitude, appreciation. To get started, make a gratitude list and keep it by your bed. You have your journal. There's a place in there where you can have a gratitude list. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul said, "What do you have that God did not give you?" It's a rhetorical question. What's he say? Everything is a gift from God. And if it was given to you, how can you brag about it? So start your day focusing on the goodness of God. Look at Matthew 6:8-9. Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, our Father who is caring, who's consistent, who's close, who's capable. James 1:17 said, "Every good gift and every perfect present comes from the Father of light in heaven." Do you realize everything you have is because of him? First thing out of bed, first thing we need to do is I need to thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love and recall all the ways he's been good to me. First thing in the morning, say, "Lord, your love is incredible. The fact that you love me, that you allowed Jesus to die for me. Your love is so constant." And then list the things that God has given to you. When's the last time you thank God for your spouse, for your children, for your job, for your home, for your strength? When you're ready to eat, the second thing you need to do is bless God's name at breakfast. You need to praise him. To bless means to honor, to give, to respect, to praise. Adoration. It's the second phase of the Lord's Prayer. Look at what it says in verse 9. Hallowed be your name. Psalm 145:2 says, "Every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever." In the Psalms, God's name is praised about 80 times. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that in the Bible, your name revealed your character. So your word and or your promise is only as good as your name. In the Bible, God reveals himself to us through almost 100 titles or names. So to hallow God's name in prayer means, in your notes, I review God's names and the promises they imply. Now just look in your notes. Here's a few examples. Abba, I'm your loving father. El Doa, I'm your God who knows you and knows everything. Jehovah Rapha, I'm the God who heals you. El Shaddai, I am Almighty God with all the power that you need. Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. Now here's the point. Listen really closely. You might want to write this somewhere. All prayer is based on how much you know God. All of your prayer is based on how much you know God. If you read Even the prayers of the Old Testament, we're going through Moses and the children of Israel. God calls upon his name, his promises. He said, you said you wouldn't do this when God got angry with Israel. It's what he knew about God. The more you know God, the less you're going to worry. The more that you know God, the more you're going to relax. The more you're going to know God, the more confident you're going to be. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, those who know the name trust in you. Your name. For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. If you know his name, you can trust in him. So you start work, and about mid-morning, you have a brief prayer break. Thirdly, about mid-morning, you remember what matters most. It's so easy to get distracted by busyness, and we forget our priorities. We lose our focus, and we miss the big perspective. We get down into the weeds, and this is all about dedicating our life to God. What we need to do is pause and pray. Look at what it says in Matthew 6, verse 10. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's just saying, God, we want your agenda, not our own. And at this point, what we do is we align ourselves with God's purposes and plans for our life. God, I want to remind myself there's something bigger. There's something a whole lot bigger than just what I've got on my table to take care of today. I'm reminded, I heard once when somebody said, when you focus on your problems and you put your problems in front of your eyes, because you have them so close to your eyes, you actually cannot see God. But if you look at God and then look at your problems, you've got a different perspective. God has promised to help you with your work, especially when you do this. Matthew 6:33, if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all the other things will be given to you as well. You don't have enough time? Put God's agenda first. You don't have enough money? Put God's agenda first. If you don't have enough energy, put God's agenda first. I've got a major decision to make? Put God's agenda first. I don't know how I'm going to finish this assignment at school. Put God's agenda first. And finally, it's time for lunch. I'm so grateful today that I didn't have to spring forward. I gave my siblings the wax last night. I said, have a good time springing ahead tomorrow. We're hungry now. So number four, some of you will get that being funny some other time. List my needs at lunchtime. It's where I have my petition. God says, what do you need? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, everything else will be given to you. So what do you need? Look at what it says in Jesus' prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Bread represents everything that you need to live. When you read that through Scripture, it's not weekly or monthly bread. In the Promised Land, he gave them manna. It only lasted a day or it would rot. They couldn't store it up. It literally was daily bread, and so they had to depend on God. So what do I do? Two things. I ask for anything I need. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name. We've also heard you have not asked. You don't have, pardon me, because you didn't ask. When you pray for yourself, it's called petition. Let me get a little bit deeper here this morning. When you pray for somebody else, it's called intercession. So when you pray for yourself, it's a petition. You're petitioning God. But when you're praying for somebody else, you're interceding for them. You're standing in the gap. So the second thing I need to do is I ask for what other people need too. Intercession. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you, Samuel says. Notice it says, give us, not give me our daily bread. It's plural. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus says, Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Sometimes by noon, I'm already stressed out. But look what it says in Philippians chapter 4. Do not get anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. Now you know what that means. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If your list, you put all the needs that you have at lunch, and you bring them to the Lord, then you're going to be able to go back to whatever you're working on, wherever you work, more peacefully. And by mid-afternoon, I have to deal with frustrating people, disappointment, and hurt. And I've got a piled up of stack full of sinful attitudes and actions. So what do I got to do then? Fifthly, ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. Sometimes I have to ask for forgiveness a little earlier, but in the afternoon, I just say, Lord, is there anything in my life I need to get cleaned out? Is there any sin? We do a little bit of an inventory. Matthew 6, 12, as we go on into that prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This doesn't take long, but neither does taking out the garbage. You see, I have to own up to my own wrong reactions. I have to admit to my sins. Now just listen, read your pastor's lips right now. There is never any reason for you to walk around feeling guilty if you know the Lord. Let me say that again. There is never any reason for you to walk around feeling guilty if you know the Lord. This is just like taking out the garbage. It doesn't take long. Doctors say most people could leave hospital today except for guilt and resentment. Guilt over things I've done to hurt others and resentment over what other people have done to me. And as a result, we regret the past, we worry about the future, and we waste today. And we crucify ourselves on the cross of guilt and resentment. And friends, that's just dumb. When you're not feeling spiritual, you're feeling guilty. Jesus died on the cross so you don't have to carry any guilt. So what do you need to do? I need to admit my sins and forgive others who frustrate me. Because you certainly don't want to be carrying around any resentment. See, listen, there's no rational reason to carry around guilt. All you have to do is confess it. David said in Psalm 32, verse 5, I confessed my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me. And what did he say? And now all my guilt is gone. My dad, even though he was 5'2", was a Volkswagen mechanic, strong like bull. And I remember him saying to me many, many times, if you have clean oil in your engine, the engine runs better. And that's just like us. When we are clean, we run better. So let's do some house cleaning. God, is there any sin? Is there any attitude? Is there any action that I must just admit to you? And if there is, I just admit it to you. Get rid of the guilt. And after work, you go home. And let me give you three words for on your way home. Low blood sugar. Cranky, and you're tired, you're hungry, you've got low blood sugar. What do they call it? You're hangry. You come home and everybody takes it out on each other. The husband yells at the wife yells at the kids get the dog chases the cat bites off the head of the Barbie doll, and it's just a chain reaction. Do you know that 90% of the arguments happen 1 hour before dinner? Knowing that, it's wise to ask for help. Here's a tip. Before you get home, you need to decompress. You need to find a spot along the way home. It may be a building, maybe a sign, it may be a tree, whatever it is, where you just simply give it to God and go on home. Here's what you say. Prayer, Father, I'm not carrying these work problems home. I leave them with you. I'll pick them up in the morning, but I don't want to present them to my family. Save a lot of tyranny at the supper table. You okay? Got time for a couple more? Number six, ask God to help you make wise decisions. That's for your protection and to protect me from making dumb decisions. Look at what it says in our prayer in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't know about you, but my worst temptations come in the evening through the refrigerator and the television. Maybe for you it's a computer, an iPhone, or an iPad. You see, the battle with the devil is for the mind, and we have to watch what we put into it. But God has given us a great promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different than any other experience. And God is faithful, and he will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. But when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not have to give in to it. Friends, everyone is tempted. It's common to all people. There's always a way out, though. Martin Luther used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Providing you have hair. If you watch stuff that's not good for you, you may need to memorize Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Finally, when we come to the end of the day, now that we're getting ready for bed, we're putting on our PJs, but there's one last thing that we need to pray. Number seven. End my day with an encouraging truth. A benediction. Look what it says in the prayer. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember that God is in control. Remember that this is not the end of the story. And remember that God and his family win in the end. Corrie ten Boom said this. If you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, then you'll be at rest. That will help you sleep better. Well, you might have an excuse. You know, I don't have time to pray and pause. Then you're too busy. Martin Luther also said, I have so much to do today that I must pray 3 hours because I can't get it all done if I don't go pray. Now I want to encourage you to try this format for using the Lord's Prayer to mark out a regular short prayer time throughout your day. Proverbs 10:27, reverence for God adds hours to your day. The Lord's Prayer is not just a pattern for praying, it's a pattern for living. Let's pray together. What I've taught you will change your life if you actually practice it. You'll grow closer to Christ. You'll have more energy. You'll make better decisions. You'll have less stress. You'll get better ideas at work. You'll be more productive. You'll be healthier. And I could go on and on. You see, the Lord's Prayer covers every major need in your life. And if you use it as a model for daily scheduling of checking in with God, God, I'm checking in with you, it's mid-morning. God, I'm checking with you, it's noon. God, I'm checking in with you, it's the afternoon. Remember I told you there are two ways to pray throughout the day. One is conversationally, where you're just talking to him all the time. And that's a good thing. But it's also a good thing to set aside specific times to say, these are going to be the times when I check in with you every day. Our Father who art in heaven, you are a good God, and I'm going to be grateful for everything you've done. Hallowed be your name. Your name, Lord, means all the things you've promised to do in my life. So why don't you pray it right now? Say, our Father in heaven. Just say it in your mind. Just say, God, you're a good God, and I want to be grateful. I want to start each day with gratitude, the healthiest emotion. I don't want to start with the news or scrolling. I don't want to start it with bad news. I want to start it with the goodness of God. And then say, Lord, I want to bless your name at breakfast. I want to learn these names of God so that I can know what you promised to do in my life, that you're my healer, that you're always present, that you give me power, that you're my forgiver. All the things that you promised by your names, I want to bless your name. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to seek you and your kingdom first. God, I want your plans and purposes for the world and for my life to be number one. I don't want to be in cross purposes with you. I want to seek first your purpose, believing that everything else I need, you're going to take care of. Lord, every day I want to say, give me this day my daily bread. Just enough to get me through the day. Give me strength for today. Give me wisdom for today. Give me finances that I need today. I want to make a list at lunchtime while I eat my sandwich that you would give me more than just that. You would give me inner food, soul food. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me for all my sins as I forgive those who sinned against me. Remove guilt and shame and resentment and bitterness in my life. I can't waste energy on those energy drainers. And Lord, there are some things in my life that you know I'm tempted by. And I'm not very good at handling it on my own. And I'm asking you to lead me not into temptation, but to deliver me from evil. I want to ask you to help me make wise decisions and not impulsive ones and not dumb ones. Deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Lord, when I'm down, when I'm discouraged, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling discouraged and depressed, help me to remember that you're in charge, you're in control, you're still on the throne. But this is not the end of the story. There is more to life than here and now, and that ultimately we win. And when the world outside looks darker and darker and dimmer, help me to realize that you hold the keys to the future, and that because I'm on your side and I'm in your family, ultimately it will all work out. And if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ this morning, just simply say, Jesus, come into my life right now. Change me, save me. I want to get to know you. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.